Rosemary, how do they affect us today?
In quite a few ways, George. In the past few years, I have done a lot of field investigations of a lot of haunted places and cases where people are plagued by persistent paranormal phenomena. And they really resisted description according to conventional things that we're familiar with, like ghosts or poltergeists or even demonic activity. And when I went back and re-examined those cases from the perspective of jinn, could we be dealing with jinn here instead of something else, they started to make a lot of sense. And then Phil and I went to John Zaffis, who's a leading demonologist, and consulted with him about many of his demonic cases. And he said that he had had the same thing, that over the years he'd had cases that just defied explanation from a demonic perspective. The cases were very resistant to conventional remedies applied against demons. But from a jinn perspective, things now start to make sense. They don't quite act like some of the other entities that we're familiar with in terms of how they can affect us and how we can deal with them. It's a whole different ball game. They're very territorial. They seem to, in many areas, have a very strong connection to land, and we think that that's because it's in proximity to a portal area where they have access between their dimension and ours. They're extremely territorial, and they can cause quite a range of phenomena that can make people very uncomfortable. Some things that would be more on the demonic sort of side, like nightmares, sexual assaults, uncomfortable poltergeist phenomena, even illness. They do have the ability to possess us, and they're very resistant to traditional remedies.
Is there anything we can do to fight them?
Yes, there are some things, and that's one thing that we're continuing to study, because a conventional exorcism may or may not work against the jinn. As Phil mentioned, they have different religious persuasions, and so, of course, if you're dealing with Christianized jinn, they may pay attention to conventional means that we have against demons. But it's also written in the literature, in the Quranic commentaries, that if the jinn don't want to follow your directives, they don't necessarily have to. They may give you lip service and tell you they'll go along with what you want them to do and then do what they want anyway.
How evil are they, Rosemary?
Some of them are quite evil. We have jinn who are the good, the bad, and the ugly. As Phil mentioned, benevolent ones, ambivalent ones, of people or jinn who don't want to deal with people. And then we have these, like, terrorist jinn who are very resentful for having lost their place when human beings came onto the scene and would very much like to see us go away so they can reclaim what they once had.
How do they get here?
They come in through these portal areas, and I think Phil can address the scientific aspect of that. We believe they exist in a parallel realm and that they have these entry points, probably where geophysical conditions are right, even the temperaments of people, that they sort of find lines of energy to, because they can attach to people. And they can come into this world. They can shapeshift in a variety of ways, but that does take energy. And so they sort of go up and down in their activity as they consume energy to interact with us, and then they need to replenish.
All right, Phil, tell us about these portals. How do they make their way here?
Well, first of all, you have to understand that they're not in a parallel universe. They're actually in the same physical space that we're in, but they're in another dimension. And, of course, now M-theory, which was once called string theory, is telling us now that the space around us, the physical universe, is composed of 11 dimensions, and 10 dimensions being actual physical space, while an 11th dimension being a brain or a fabric in which all these dimensions are attached to. And now, we cannot see this other dimension being three-dimensional beings, being physical beings, but jinn are, they're actually four- and five-dimensional beings. So they can change shape. And what they do is that somehow in certain areas, they change the curvature of space, allowing a portal to open up, not a wormhole. We can't confuse portals with wormholes, which connect to other universes according to current theories in theoretical physics, is that what they do is they seem to bend space somewhat by energy manipulation, magnetic fields, and so on, allowing our dimension and their dimension to cross over, allowing them to come into our realm. But I think it requires quite a bit of energy, and I don't think all jinn can do it. I think there are some jinn who have the ability to do this, while others are more or less happy to stay where they are and not interfere with the human race. For example, shadow people.
I was just going to ask you, maybe what some people call shadow people are really the jinn?
Right. What they're doing is they're pressing upon the fabric that separates the dimension, and it's almost like if you hang a sheet out in the daytime, a white sheet, and somebody on the other side presses up against the sheet. If you pull it tight, you could see the outline of who they are, but you can't really see their face or facial features, but you know someone is behind that sheet. So when the jinn come up to their dimensional state to look at us, and they observe us because they're very interested in us, we can see their outline, and to us, they resemble a shadow. But according to what we understand, is that they have a pretty good view of us. And there's one chapter in the book that we're writing, it's a section of a chapter, it's called There's No Privacy in the Multiverse, because you have all these dimensions around you, and some of these other beings can actually observe you, but you cannot see them.
You know, the subtitle of the book is Unveiling the Hidden Agendas of Genies. Rosemary, what is that hidden agenda?
It's quite varied. And the jinn who are hostile to us would like to see us out of their world. They consider this their world. And I think that they're looking for ways that they can infiltrate this world and anchor into it in some sort of form so that they have a more lasting ability to stay in our physical realm. And, of course, people are very much in the way of that. When people move into their territory, they can really act up and cause quite a few problems. And Phil and I both have cases going back for years where people have acquired homes or farms in areas, and they've been so plagued with phenomena that they wind up giving up and moving. And we think that the jinn are literally pushing them out. Some of the other ones develop these amorous attachments to us, and they want to become our companions. They attach to people and follow them around. Others want to have the experience of the physical body, and so they possess us. When they possess us, because of their form and their shape-shifting ability, it is said that they get into the blood and they circulate very fast through the body, and they can completely take it over. They have the ability to debilitate our energy fields, to put thoughts in our heads, influence our thoughts. And, of course, some of the people who are familiar with demons are going to say, well, that's really demonic. Yes, they do embody demonic traits, but they are not the same as demons.